1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Former FBI Director James Comey says bring on the trial after he was indicted on federal charges accusing him of misleading lawmakers during Senate testimony. CBS's Scott McFarland.
James Comey will appear in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia in the coming days to answer to these two federal charges. The grand jury declined to approve a third charge.
President Trump's announced a new round of taxes on imports. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
We have a 100% tariff on all imported pharmaceuticals. A 50% tariff on kitchen cabinets, 30% on upholstered furniture.
Officials say the 29-year-old suspect in Wednesday's deadly shooting outside an ICE field office in Dallas left written notes behind. Acting U.S. Attorney Nancy Larson.
He called the ICE employees people showing up to collect a dirty paycheck.
One detainee was killed outside the building. Officials say the suspect killed himself. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shelley Pittman filling in for Melissa Kay. ICE agents arrested 36 people in Manitowoc yesterday. Civic Media's Connie Fellman has more.
Officials say 9 of those arrested were targeted for suspected involvement in the sexual assault and or trafficking of minor American girls. FBI agents say all the people arrested were in the country illegally. Forward Latino, an immigrant rights group in Manitowoc, issued a statement last night saying it's reckless and harmful to connect all those detained with allegations of sex trafficking. The statement points out that some of the people arrested work in the dairy industry, helping sustain Wisconsin's family-owned dairy farms. Forward Latino's president says, at a time when Wisconsin faces a severe labor shortage, we should be focused on expanding legal pathways, not tearing families apart. I'm Connie Fellman.
Meanwhile, Planned Parenthood is pausing abortions in Wisconsin effective next Wednesday. Civic Media's Savannah Tomayolson has more.
The new law blocks facilities that provide abortions from receiving payments from Medicaid for 1 year. Stephanie Miller, a spokesperson for Planned Parenthood, says they serve about 50,000 people per year, providing all kinds of health care. And 3 out of every 5 are covered by Medicaid. The change goes into effect next Wednesday, October 1st, and that's when Planned Parenthood will pause abortions. The last time Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin paused abortion services was when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in June 2022, making Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban the law of the land. They resumed abortion services a little over a year later when a Dane County judge ruled that the old law does not apply to consensual abortion. There are only 2 other clinics that provide the service in the state. They're both in Milwaukee. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shelley Pittman.
The Packers are bound for Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football at AT&T Stadium. I asked Packers running back Josh Jacobs, what will it be like running into defensive tackle Kenny Clark, traded to Dallas in that deal for Micah Parsons?
It's definitely going to be funny going against him because I know he's going to have a little chip on his shoulder, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to tell him like I always tell him, I like me. So whenever I get a chance to go against him, it's going to be fun after the game, but between them lines, I'm going to try to give him what I got.
Brewers baseball tonight. The crew hosts the Reds. Milwaukee with a chance to secure home field advantage in the playoffs thanks to the best record in the major leagues.
You know, the guys have done a really good job, been really focused, and we talk about all the time as far as, you know, what we need to do to win, what we like about what we did before, and what we need to continue to do going forward, what we get better at. You know, that's like a constant dialogue, and we can play the game and affect the outcomes.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low dropping into the mid 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect.
beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
From the comments of former head coach of Wisconsin Barry Alvarez to the Brewers heading into the playoffs, there's a lot going on in Wisconsin sports. We'll discuss it with former Badger and NFL veteran Brady Ewing next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Not coming to you from the Lake Wissota studio for one more day here down in Madison Studio A2, along with producer Parker Olson. Nice to have you back here on this Friday morning. It is September 26th. And coming up, we will have Mark Jacob and Jennifer Scholze, two-thirds of our regular Week in Review panel. That's because former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel has a court thing. And apparently, Parker, these court things take precedence over goofing off on the radio with us. So
I guess if you're going to do the whole, like, uphold the law thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, Lord knows somebody's got to. I think it also might be, and I'm not one to question Jim Santel's motivations, but...
Oh boy.
It might be that he just wanted to avoid saying a bad word, because I'm sure he has some strong feelings about former FBI Director Jim Comey being charged with pretty much nothing, but being charged just for the sake of being charged. So if you want to know what exactly Jim Santel is going to say, you're going to have to tune into his show, Amicus, a Law Review, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., 9 to 11, replayed on Sunday on civic media stations around the state. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. I'm going to be tuning in now just for that, just to hear his reaction on this.
I will be interested in seeing how he keeps it FCC compliant.
Well, can anything be FCC compliant? I mean, now with Brendan Carr heading the FCC, you know, the rules are whatever they say they are. And that's exactly what we're dealing with these days. Brittany Merlot is off today, getting an early start to the weekend. So I'll give you her state forecast right after I give an update from Rob in Tigerton, who says, good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy and 52 degrees. Yesterday, I mowed 5 yards in Tigerton, then went for pizza at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock, which is a suburb of Tigerton. Did you know Tigerton has suburbs? Yes.
I was unaware.
Says he's got a few more lawns to mow, then off to his sister Lori's house to celebrate Lori and Dave's 39th wedding anniversary, and then they're going to have spaghetti and meatballs. Says that tomorrow is Tigerton Apple Fest, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Tigerton Community Park. And weatherwise, says he noticed that Septembers have become warmer and warmer over the years. I agree with you, but then we had that cold snap, about a week ago or so, where we were all breaking out the hoodies again.
Oh,
so
yeah.
things can kind of, you know, again, theater of seasons, I guess, is what we're what we're trying to say here. Brittany did leave us a state forecast that goes like this. High pressure holds over the weekend, bringing lots of sunshine and warming temperatures with highs hitting the 80s. So for today, around the state, she says partly sunny and nice, near 70 up north, touching 80 in the south, with a northeast wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. For tonight, clouds will roll in, lows tonight in the upper 40s up north to the mid-50s south, and an east wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And, of course, we'll have local updated forecasts throughout the course of the day on your local civic media station. What say we go for the green and gold over here? It's our Text to Win contest, where, again, you get to use that civic media app, and then we get to play funky music in the background here. So green and gold, you get a chance for cash and jewelry. Use that Civic Media app, look up a station, use the text button to send us a text message, which will be the keyword I'm about to give you. Here in the 7 a.m. hour, you have until 8 a.m. to text it. There will be 7 chances to enter throughout the day, different keywords each time. And then of all the day's entries in this multi-station, multi-state game, one lucky winner will win $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. That's the prize of the day every day. And then one really lucky winner from everybody who enters is going to get the whole enchilada. It's 2 club-level indoor seats, Green Bay versus Minnesota, playing a football game on November 23rd in Green Bay, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of this grand prize is more than $1,500. You may get a return message giving you another chance to get an entry in linked to a specific activity, like signing up for a newsletter. Each activity can only be done once. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more about the rules. If you are ready, here's the keyword to text us before 8 a.m. The word is prize. Prize, P-R-I-Z-E. Prize, P-R-I-Z-E. Text that before 8 o'clock for a chance at a daily prize and, of course, the grand prize as well. You ever notice when you have to, it's not like Andy Rooney now, you ever notice when you have to spell out a word and you actually have to think about the spelling of it? It's like, who thinks of prize?
Yeah. You know? I had to do one of those, I don't remember what the word was, but I had to do a keyword for like the Stephanie Miller show, like really quick VO for it. And I think it was family, and I could not tell if I was spelling it correctly.
It's the worst feeling, like when you're double checking yourself, you're second guessing yourself on basic spelling.
Yeah.
Am I getting this right? I haven't taken a spelling test since fourth grade.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
I spent years trying to figure this stuff out.
These things just fall out. And that, of course, is when you make a mistake, is when you overthink it. But no, prize, P-R-I-Z-E, is the text word here. Let's see. There is going to be some Green Bay football coming up this Sunday night. Packers versus the Cowboys. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock Sunday evening on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And, of course, there is baseball. Brewers were off yesterday, coming home for the final regular season homestand of the regular season, I should say. Coverage begins at 6:35 tonight on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. It'll be the Brewers versus the Reds. And we do know that the Brewers have a first-round bye in the playoffs. They don't have to compete in that best-of-3 wild-card thing. Thank goodness.
That's been a bit of a bugaboo.
Seems to have been. So now we'll see if having some extra days off before the divisional round is a plus, the Brewers. I mean, it can't be worse. You can't break our hearts more than, you know, going out in the wild card round.
No, so. Yeah. And it gives you a little bit of time to get hot, too. Like, a couple of guys mm-hmm. have been really cool lately.
Yep.
This will help them maybe heat up a little bit. Sometimes you just need a good rest.
That's exactly what some of these players need for as banged up as we've been this year. And so we'll see about that. Mike Clemens will be joining us at 8:35 to talk more about sports with us, about the Brewers and the Packers. Badger football team is off this weekend. Badger volleyball team has a match tonight here in Madison. And I didn't put the note in front of me, so I forget who it is, but it's going to be a good match regardless. Badger women's volleyball continuing their season, 7th ranked in the nation. And I want to say 7-1, I think, is their record on the season.
Yes, they are. 7-1.
You know who they're playing tonight?
I do know who they're playing tonight. They're playing Rutgers.
Oh, yes, Rutgers. That's right. They're opening the Big Ten season tonight. So that'll be at the field house. This has not been the best week ever for Bill Berrien, the soon-to-be former candidate for governor. That's my prediction anyway. Bill Berrien was supposed to show up at the Manitowoc County Republican Party picnic last evening and did not. This, according to WBAY-TV, he was supposed to be the keynote speaker, but a few minutes before 6 p.m., organizers placed a call to his campaign saying, hello, are you coming? And we're told Berrien would not be showing up and decided to cancel after what they described as a very rough week. The county party chair then made the announcement to the crowd inside the picnic shelter, and apparently some people applauded. Oh, no.
No.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. See, it all comes after that report by Dan Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that revealed his social media footprint was a little wider, shall we say, a little more encompassing than your typical Republican family values candidate, including liking many sexually explicit articles and following a transgender porn star. And the thing is, to look at the report and what some Republican voters are saying, it's not just that it reflects poorly on Bill Berrien and, you know, his flailing gubernatorial campaign. But again, because he was so insistent on talking about family values and anti-trans issues, that this kind of hypocrisy is the kind of thing that stains other Republican candidates. There will be other people who will run on the so-called family values, in other words, anti-LGBTQ platform, who don't have a social media footprint quite like Bill Berrien's, but they will be, you know, cast in the same way as people who, you know, say one thing when maybe personally they're doing something totally different. And by the way, the trans porn star that Bill Berrien was following has now spoken up. And in a way that I think that you would expect. And let's see, the transgender porn star Jiz Lee has commented, saw all the attention. The story has apparently gotten some international attention. It's been picked up by the Daily Mail and others. Lee, who identifies as a queer, trans, non-binary adult performer and uses they, them pronouns, slammed Berrien on social media for being hypocritical. But again, listen to the statement. It's okay to follow trans porn stars. It's okay to read articles about sex and relationships, wrote the Post. What's not okay is the hypocrisy of backing forceful legislation that reflects what people, trans and otherwise, can do with their bodies. That is shameful. And that's all true, every bit of it. This is much less about judging Bill Berrien's, you know, personal tastes and web history as it is then stepping forward and speaking out against the very things you give the appearance of being a fan of. I think if we're helping appreciate more things in our politics today, is that we stop expecting people to be perfect. I mean, we had like nominees for Supreme Court and Attorney General in the past who had to have their nominations withdrawn because they had once smoked marijuana in college. Okay. We've come to the point where we understand people are people. All right. Nobody's perfect. Everybody has something that they'd just as soon rather not talk about publicly, which is absolutely their right. So the problem isn't that we're expecting perfection in our candidates. The problem is we're getting too much hypocrisy in our candidates and in our politicians. And it isn't just about social media. It's about saying you're against a debt and deficits when you then approve a bill that adds another $4 trillion to the national debt. It's being a gubernatorial candidate like Congressman Tom Tiffany, who's saying, well, state law is 20 weeks, and so I'm going to uphold state law. And yet Planned Parenthood is about to temporarily halt abortion care services in Wisconsin because the big bloated boondoggle that Tom Tiffany voted for would take away funding, Medicaid funding, for Planned Parenthood to do all of the other non-abortion related health care things that they do. It's that kind of hypocrisy from our politicians that people have less of an appetite for all the time. It's saying that you're going to go after the criminal thugs and drug cartels when it comes to undocumented immigrants, and instead you're getting moms and dads who are trying to make a better life for themselves and their kids and keep them safe. These are people who want to be here legally, but these same hypocritical politicians shot down the greatest chance at comprehensive immigration reform in a generation. So Bill Berrien, you're in good company in that you say something, but then you do something differently. The difference is this time around, you're not going to be elected governor. Unfortunately, others have been elected president and in other important roles, and we are going to be in a world of hurt dealing with this level of hypocrisy, at least for a little while longer, you know, until the midterms. Our Week in Review panel is coming up. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free civic media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
The needs of youth today. So as you said, right, when we were growing up, video games were new and they were really looked down upon. Now there's an esports project that young people can get involved in. And the video game stuff, like we can work on developing video games. That has to do with science, technology, engineering, and math, kind of that creative programming and what have you. And now today's youth are really into, well, you know what? Today's youth have grown up with digital devices in their hands.
Yeah.
So their experience is different. It's not wrong. But what remains eternal is wanting to make sure that young people have a really positive experience growing up so they can be independent and successful as adults. And so regardless of what environment they're growing up in, 4-H is there to help them develop all of the skills that they need for success. I'm not going to judge anybody for growing up in an age where they're holding devices in their hands at very young ages. That's they didn't do that. Their parents chose that, right?
Yeah.
And so how can we help them be successful?
You know, a teammate of yours, Matt Lippert over at UW, really helped me understand how much technology and agriculture are hand in hand nowadays as well, and have been for a very long time. Matt was game changing for me in that regard, and I did not know that stuff until started interviewing and talking with him. And so when we're talking about a lot of these technical things with 4-H, I can see a crossover with some of the ag industry and some of this other stuff. And again, them understanding technology, understanding these things better, or just basics of these things, is only going to help them whether they go into ag or not, but could even be more impactful if they are in the ag industry, because these worlds are merging more and more. So it's not as if when we talk about technology and agriculture, they're in two different hemispheres or something. They're getting closer and closer, if not intertwined more and more.
Absolutely. And I think that's really an interesting point when you think about then the arts. Like, I feel like sometimes the arts are just shoved over in a corner of their
Tell me about it.
But the arts really highlight creativity, creative thinking. And that's one of the greatest things for, I realized this didn't go quite right. What can I do different? So there's problem solving and adaptability and perseverance to keep going. But in science, in technology, we always need that creative aspect. So we need minds to know how to think and function creatively as well. And what better way than through the arts?
Yeah.
And then I would say, like, sometimes we still really need those concrete, hard skills. We need people who know how to cook. We need people who know how to sew and repair things. We need people who know how to do all sorts of things. I don't think we can ever talk about that's an old-fashioned skill that we don't need anymore. So I love that we have caring adult volunteers in 4-H who are willing to say, you know what, I learned how to do this, and I would love to share my skills and knowledge with you, with young people who are coming up and will need these, whether they realize it or not.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And they will need it. Everybody should know how to sew. It's a good one. So, I appreciate you mentioning those volunteers. It's a quick reminder to everybody out there that you have a skill set you would like to share, or you would just like to volunteer and be a part of things at 4-H. Well, before we wrap up, let you know how to get in touch with 4-H about that and your local 4-H.
You bet. So one of the things, the way that 4-H is structured for the most part in Wood County is youth and families join a local club. And last year we had 585 youth in 4-H and we had 115 adult volunteers. So those are caring adults who are willing to, maybe they're working at the club level to help the kids who come to their monthly meeting learn a new skill, or maybe they're helping out at something like Creative Arts Day or Project Discovery Day, which is an event where the whole county comes together to learn, to perform, to share what they've been doing in the program. And so we might have adults who want to volunteer at the club level locally. It doesn't mean that you're signing up for life or anything like that. Or we might have volunteers who just come for the county level. So as a great example, we had the woodcarvers. Is it Wisconsin River Woodcarvers?
I believe so.
Come and they, one day, they came and they volunteered for one day and they introduced something that they really love to do with a whole bunch of interested young people. So there's so many different ways that adults in the community can share their skills. So, by all means, like you said, get a hold of me and let's talk.
Yeah. It's a great opportunity, especially those of you that whether you maybe you were in 4-H and you want to kind of give back or just, you know, be a part of things for the fun of it, or you always wanted to be a part of 4-H. It's a great opportunity. You're never too old to be a part of this stuff. When it comes to the project guide that we're kind of discussing here too, Laura, there's a great breakdown of what not only as you were telling us what a project is and to me what it means to 4-H, and a great glossary, if you will, about all of this. But I also want to remind people that this is a great place to tell people how to get started into 4-H.
Absolutely. How to join and how to discover what opportunities are there. Who are the people that you contact? All sorts of opportunities. So this guide really is starting at square one, if you will. And if you're comfortable, right, using those resources and making those discoveries on your own, that's great. If you also want to have a conversation, those of us in the Extension office who work with 4-H would love to talk with you and help you find a place. So, well, with, you know, searching online or what have you, by all means, give us a call.
Speaking with our good friend Laura Huber, 4-H program educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Laura, you were telling me in our pregame a little bit that you got a really fun trip coming up.
Absolutely. And I think this is something not covered in the project guide. So I just wanted to share. Educational travel is something that we love to do in 4-H. Young people learn so much about leadership and community by getting out of their own community. And families aren't able to travel the way that we can travel with 4-H and in educational things. So in the middle of October, we are taking a group of middle and high schoolers to Washington, D.C. And our focus on that trip is really about community development. It's about community leadership, like how we all can be involved in our communities on the local level. But it's also then about civic engagement all the way through. How does representative government work? Where are all of these things that they've learned about? They've learned about so many different things in history, and then they've taken the test and they've moved on. We get to actually put those kids on the ground in the spaces, and so they can learn and experience in a different way. And that really is at the core.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Our valuable dairy sector in Wisconsin not seeing the seasonal demand we'd hoped for by now. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. So what does that mean for dairy prices going into 2026? Those projections next.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game.
Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt.
Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre.
All right, here's the kick.
It's good!
Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Right now, it seems like the buyers that are looking for cheese and butter for the upcoming holidays are a little thin in the marketplace. Matt Trennell, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg in Platteville, says they're still optimistic.
We're starting to hear, especially on the butter front, lots of different grocery stores starting to push hard on butter promotions, which makes sense because butter is at the lowest price that we've seen since 2021. At $1.62 on the spot market. So it hasn't been there to date just yet, but the more promotional items that we do, the likelihood that there will be some sort of demand. And
Matt Trannell, one of the dairy analysts for EverAg out of their Platteville office, remaining optimistic that that seasonal dairy demand will be in the marketplace. Yesterday in Chicago, speaking of butter, the butter went up 2 cents to 164. 40-pound block cheese down a quarter of a cent, 163 and three quarters. Well, the barrel cheese was unchanged, 164 and a half. In overnight electronic trade this morning, markets are a little bit mixed. Currently, December corn's down a penny at 425. November soybeans down 2.5 at 1010. July new crop wheat's down 3 at 564. The class 3 milk that goes into cheese for October down 25 cents at 1679. November, though, up 3 at 1621 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot of what's happening with the markets rolling into a Friday trade session. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke. Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low dropping into the mid-50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad. Or the seriously smart podcaster? It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom, it's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate.
finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Fresh off her announcement that she's running for governor, we have State Representative Francesca Hong. Hear what she has to say.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
All right, this is day five of our two-week Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest at Civic Media. Use that Civic Media app and the text feature to text us a keyword seven different times throughout the course of the day. Seven different ways to enter for a daily prize of cash and jewelry and a grand prize of tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota play in Green Bay. The keyword for this hour is prize, P-R-I-Z-E, prize. Text that before 8 o'clock, and then your next chance to enter and potentially win will be with Matt and Air on Air, Jane and Greg, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Chicago veteran journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze are here. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is off doing, you know, court stuff, you know, justice. Somebody's got to be looking out for us there in what has become an increasingly politicized government, including justice as well. When you have like the former FBI director now facing a trumped up criminal charge, going after other, you know, basically just political enemies without any kind of basis. And then comedians, I mean, late night comedians. And Mark, I'm trying to determine whether I'm, overreacting or if I'm capturing the barometer in saying that as outrageous as it was that Jimmy Kimmel was taken off the air, the fact that ABC put him back on in less than a week gives me reason to think that the network and others are aware that this attempt at state-controlled media can overreach.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good sign. It should tell us that, unfortunately, the only thing that these big corporations care about is money, money, money. So when you start, you know, canceling Disney Plus or you, take other actions to hurt them in the pocketbook, they're going to react. I don't think that they didn't put Kimmel back on the air because they thought they made a mistake. I think they thought they made a business mistake, not, you know, a moral mistake. And so it's good news they brought him back. Now, still those, you know, the some of the stations don't air it because they're still being pressured by the FCC. And Brendan Carr is talking about going after The View next. So he's not finished trying to, you know, censor, American media. He sees it as his job. But pushback is really important. If support the people who are doing a good job, cancel people who are doing a bad job. That's just got to be the way it is in today's world.
And so that ties in, I would imagine, to Stop the Presses this week, your newsletter. That you can get at stopthepresses.news or couriernewsroom.com. The headline, "Can Comedy Help Conquer Fascism? Loudly Mocking Trump Now May Help Us Avoid Whisper Jokes Later." We never think of America as a place where we could only tell jokes in a whisper. And you're reminding us that we're not immune to that possibility.
Yeah. I wrote this version of the newsletter because my wife and I were talking about it. And I think comedy is really a good way to assault, you know, bad actors in politics, because, verbally assault them. Because I feel like some people who don't really care about politics and don't know much about politics and actively try to avoid the news are exposed to it by these comedy shows. And so Colbert and Kimmel and John Oliver and shows like that, I think, have a real place. Now, on the other hand, my wife thinks that's not true at all. She thinks that it's a bad thing because it trivializes and normalizes the behavior, and that it makes people think this is all just part of the show and it doesn't matter much anymore. And so I think there's a middle ground there, and I try to get into it in this newsletter. And I write history books also. So I got back into the history of what they call whisper jokes, which is what they, in Nazi Germany, when people, you know, whispered jokes because they couldn't tell them out loud without getting arrested, you know. And so We don't want that in this country. We don't want people to only be able to say funny things, you know, in the privacy of their own bedrooms.
Yeah. And I see the truth in both ways of looking at that. And Jennifer, the way I'd throw it to you is this way. I was noticing a New York Times headline. The headline is Late Night Investigates Trump's Claims of Escalator Sabotage. Famously, the escalator, you know, was broken in the middle of Trump riding it at the United Nations. And, you know, that's the subject of late night jokes. OK, fine. But when I first saw the headline, I thought, can we not trivialize this stuff? There's some big, serious stuff going on here. So, you know, that's what, you know, Mark's wife is saying. But I feel like, yeah, you actually do have to strike a balance between the two in your overall coverage of the times that we live in.
Well, I'm all for the all of the above coverage. I think that talking about politics on comedy is essential, and it is the gateway for a lot of people, as Mark said, who do not use other sources of information for political news, in fact, actively avoid it. So I'm all for them doing it. I think it's great. And I would venture to say that more people are going to find out about this absurd UN sabotage claim from Stephen Colbert than any serious news source. And so that's okay. The other thing I want to say, though, is these giant companies that own these local television stations are a big problem. And it's not, you know, they own them. If they don't want to run Jimmy Kimmel, that's a business decision, but they are already too big and they want to be bigger. Together, Sinclair and Nexstar own half of the local television stations in America. And the Trump administration is soon going to let them own more of them. And the problem with that is just that they're decimating the actual local news and they have too much power and too much say over something that they shouldn't be that involved with, frankly. I think the 39% cap is reasonable, and going over it is not okay.
And it seems just so quaint, the times when I was growing up, when the limit was 7. You could own 7 TV,
right.
7 a.m., and 7 FM.
Yeah.
And that was it. And when we saw this deregulation come, you know, there were those of us saying, this may not end well. We didn't foresee it being quite like this. But this is where we are now, including, Jennifer, a government that, if the defense secretary has his way, basically is going to make journalists sign some kind of a loyalty pledge or oath if they want to cover the Pentagon. What's that about?
Well, it's absolutely terrifying, honestly. I'm not sure I know of any time in history, and Mark's the history guy, so maybe he does, where the U.S. government has basically said, we're going to write your stories for you. You can't write a story without our approval. That's what they are saying with this pledge that these reporters at the Pentagon are being required to sign if they want to continue to cover the Defense Department. They have till September 30th to either sign this agreement that they will allow the they will only publish information that is approved by the Defense Department. That's not journalism.
No,
it's just not journalism. So it'll be really interesting to see where this goes. If anybody actually signs it, I say, turn in your press pass. You're done. You're not a journalist anymore.
Absolutely. And in a related note, Mark, one of the things that people would probably want to report about is that the defense secretary has summoned top military leaders from around the globe, wherever they are stationed, to come back to the U.S., to come back to the D.C. area, to Quantico, for a meeting. And, I mean, I thought about titling this episode, This Meeting Could Have Been an Email, because I can't imagine anything,
right. Well,
you know.
It could have been a Zoom meeting.
It could have
been
a Zoom, and yet all these people, I think about the millions of dollars in transportation costs, everybody getting on airplanes to get here, and the security, and putting them up, and feeding them, and all that, to tell them something that could only be told in person, again, in a normal time, Mark, and or if a Democratic president were doing this, that would actually be the story right now.
Yeah, it was, you know, I watch Turner Classic Movies sometimes, and I watched 7 Days in May the other day, which is in the 1960s, is a movie about a military coup in the United States. And I'm not saying that's what's going on now, but we don't know what's going on now with Hegseth. And he's capable of a lot. I mean, obviously, he You know, I feel like that the reason that Trump picked him for defense secretary or war secretary, as stupidly they call it now, is because he's willing to do just about anything that Trump wants, including, you know, order the people to fire on American citizens, you know, to occupy American cities. So I feel like there's sort of an ominous tone to this meeting next week. And we have no idea what it is. Well, you know, maybe he's, you know, somebody joked on social media, maybe he just wants to organize a nicer parade next time for the military.
Who knows?
But I don't want to be alarmist, but these people are capable of a lot of terrible things. They're already doing a lot of terrible things.
And also, not just in the present, but looking back at the past. And Mark, maybe I'll start with you from a historical standpoint, that Pete Hegseth is making clear now that 20 soldiers who received the Medal of Honor for their actions in 1890 at Wounded Knee, which many regard as a massacre, made clear they will keep their Medals of Honor. Hegseth's predecessor, Lloyd Austin, ordered a review of the medals last year as part of a congressional bill. Because, again, this was something back at the time when an estimated 250 Native Americans, including many women and children of the Lakota Sioux, were killed attempting to disarm Native American fighters who, it turned out, had already surrendered at their camp. Right. This is hardly Medal of Honor stuff here, Mark, and yet Pete Hegseth is taking time out of his busy day to say that, well, they might have been a massacre, they might have been butchers, but, you know, we're not going to do anything about it. They're, how did he put it, American heroes or whatever, and they're going to keep their medals. This is the kind of thing where people go, oh, they're teaching us to hate history. It's not about hating history. It's about honestly telling history and kind of hating the present.
Right. Well, it's also respecting the idea of facts and learning from it. That's what history is for, is to learn from it and do better next time. And whenever someone says, well, history isn't important, you know, why are you getting into that? Obviously, Pete Hegseth thinks history is important because he wants to cover it up. And, the reason they want to cover up the bad deeds of the past, you know, the racism and all this other stuff, is because they want to do it again. And they don't want any lessons learned, you know. And Pete Hegseth, when he was at Fox News, was a big campaigner for letting off these soldiers in Iraq who were doing war crimes, you know, and they were clearly doing war crimes, like just shooting, unarmed civilians and stuff like that. And Hegseth was successful in having Trump, let them off. And so really he's pro atrocity. He's fine with the U.S. Army doing whatever it wants to do in war. And, and you see this with, like, blowing up boats in international waters today. So this is, they're running roughshod, and he wants more of that, and he wants to cover up the past.
And Jennifer, it's all about, again, this whole notion of there's so many plates to keep spinning right now that, you know, it's tough for any single newsroom to do an honest accounting of a story like this when there's so much more going on, and yet it doesn't make the story any less important.
Right. Well, I mean, we're all in the business of keeping track of information. And I don't know about you guys, but I can't do it. So I can't imagine what it's like for people who aren't like us, right, in this business, because it is impossible. I think, though, generally, there is clearly a sense in the country that Trump is doing really bad stuff and Americans do not like it. The polling, time and time again, it's just cratering on everything. So even if the very specific things might not be getting what we would all think would be enough coverage, the notion that he's doing bad stuff and not helping people and prices are still too high is breaking through in a very big way.
That's Jennifer.
Whether it translates at the ballot box is another.
Jennifer, I got to hit break. Hold that thought. And again, we'll be back. I'm Pat Kreitlow, the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistant's assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today.
Visit mintmobile.com/radio.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Have you read or listened to any good mysteries lately? Would you like to know more about the people who write them? Listen to Masters of Mystery on WFHR Sunday, September 28th at 9 p.m. as host Rob Young converses with John Gaspard, writer of magic-filled mysteries, and professional actor turned audiobook narrator Jim Cunningham as they discuss Gaspard's novels and their journey from written word to audiobook.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this Thursday, September 25th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined by our friends, family, really, Family Natural Foods, Stephen and Katrina Hintner. Good to see you both. How you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, doing well.
Good. Yeah. Good to hear. How are? It's also good to see that you guys are calm and collected because you got a big, big October ahead of you guys. And it really, a big part of it is the anniversary.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. You're right.
A lot of preparations. Katrina was up at like 5 a.m. in at work at 5:30 one of these days. Yeah. I tried to do that today. It didn't quite work. I got there at 8:30.
You tried, though. Yeah. That counts.
But he did try.
I did get there early.
Points. Points for Steven.
You were up early, but just with your daughter instead, yeah. Right? So, yeah. She takes precedence.
What a crybaby.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, at that age.
Seven-month-olds, you know, they're trying to figure out that sleep.
They really are.
So is James. Yes, so is James, everyone.
Some of us never grow out of it.
James is a big baby, in case you haven't, like, listened to this program before.
When it comes to the anniversary special.
And segue, James. Thank you. I like this.
Let's get this one moving.
One of the things that we love highlighting about this is not only the date itself and certainly the great things that you guys do about it, but what over the years, what did a community event it's become in such a fellowship and a fun thing for people, along with, collecting up on supplies for the winter or something like that.
For sure. So save the date, everyone. Like James is talking about, the anniversary sale is on October 3rd and 4th. So Friday, that's going to be 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. And Saturday, that'll be 9 until 4. And this is our 79th customer appreciation sale.
Yeah, 79 years.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's, you know, it's a moment that we like to reflect and just give thanks and gratitude to our community that has supported us through 79 years and three generations. You know, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our community. So we really appreciate that. But what we like to also highlight today, as well as at the anniversary, is the different things that we're going to have going on. So we can kind of talk about, like, what does that look like if you've never been there, and who is going to be there? What's on sale? So you kind of have that idea and you can think about your list of, like, what you want, you know, stocking up and such, too.
Before diving into that, I thought about this the last time y'all were in and did have a chance to bring it up. But one thing I wanted to ask, if you know or not, if anniversary, doing something like this is something that was done, you know, by your dad and his dad and that. Did they do something like this, too?
I think we asked our dad about this. He definitely did it over the years.
Definitely he did it.
But I think he started it. And, you know, it's kind of like one of these things. You have a new business, and you don't even really, like, think about anniversaries until it becomes, like, some amount of time has passed.
5, 10 years,
exactly,
something like that.
Yeah. And I think my grandfather probably did stuff like that. I remember some kind of, like, old news clipping that we had, like, saying, like, oh, we've been in business this long. It might have been like 2 months in business or something, you know, but he put it in the paper as like a little ad, like, come and stop in and say hello. We've been in business, you know.
It was more than 2 months. It was like a, you know, been around for 2 or 5 years or something.
Something
so
like that, yeah.
I think our grandpa, so one thing about it is our dad actually said the store's anniversary is technically in spring. But because the store's original roots of the business started as a feed and grain business, the busiest time for farmers was in spring when you're planting and growing. You have baby chicks, you have all the things going on. Everything's spring and bountiful of starting things.
Which it still is. We still saw a lot of garden seeds and some of the stuff that our grandfather sold.
But they decided to do that in fall, have the anniversary sale, usually, you know, that early October, because it was after harvest. Because the weather, you know, 70, 80 years ago was much colder in early October than it is now. But so that is something that was a little different. And I think, to Stephen's point, is our grandfather did do anniversary sales, but they were maybe sporadic more. Like, it's our 5th or our 10th.
Yeah, maybe just doing, like, big number ones. Yeah.
And where our dad really made it more of, like, this consistent every year, you know, really, like, thanks to the community, you know, I want to give back, you give to me kind of the concept. And, you know, that's what Stephen and I saw growing up, too. So I can't speak as much to my grandpa's because I didn't see as many of those, too.
I ask because I just loving history and thinking it was, you know, interesting. But also, you know, you do a great job of that, thanking the community with this wonderful anniversary sale and special that you guys do over the couple of days. We're going to hear more details on. But it's also, in doing that, I think, a great way of honoring, you know, those that came before you and the history of this store and your not only your dad, but your gramps and those things by continuing to do this and by continuing to keep up that mission, that message that really began with those guys and wanting to, you know, make this community healthier, make it more a place to go, you know, for people and so many things that we love about Family Natural Foods.
Yeah. And I would say something that's follows suit in all three generations. So from Frank, Mike, Stephen, and Katrina, I think we always think that knowledge is power and educating our community. And that's something that all of us have done, you know, staff as well, like, really about putting your own health in your own hands and educating yourself so you know. I think that's a
great reminder. And even today I was talking to this lady. She was looking for something for UTIs. And she said, like, oh, I've used Urvoursi before, which is an herb. And I've used cranberry. Everybody knows cranberry. And I said, oh, yeah, there's like an incompatibility between those two. Like, one's trying to create more alkalinity. One's trying to create more acidity. And I looked this up in a book just to kind of, you know, make sure I was remembering this right. And she's like, well, that's so interesting. I never learned that. I never knew that before. And thank you for sharing that. And I was like, yeah, that's, you know, that's kind of what we do here is, you know, help give, you know, people some guidance and share knowledge. You know, I was opening 2 or 3 different books with her, just like trying to dig through, you know, trying to help her with, you know, what she was working on. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to share this information with my mom too. And, you know, it's very heartwarming to see that. And I think that's something that Katrina and I and our dad and I'm sure our grandfather before that, it's always been about the community, because our business wouldn't continue really for many more days beyond where it is today if we didn't have customers coming in every day and appreciating what we're doing and us appreciating what they're, you know, they're coming in with their support and their questions.
Mm-hmm. Doing something right to be able to celebrate 79 years.
Yeah, it's really wild to think about that. Like, yeah. 79 years, that is wild. So for Stephen and I, it would be our 11th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And for the store's anniversary, it's 79 years, which also 11 feels really wild and big, too. So.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, salut.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Former FBI Director James Comey's responded on Instagram after he was indicted on felony charges of obstruction and making a false statement when he denied leaking information to the press during congressional testimony in 2020.
My heart is broken for the Department of Justice. But I have great confidence in the federal judicial system, and I'm innocent.
President Trump's slapping new tariffs on imported furniture, heavy trucks, and medications made overseas. CBS's Kelly O'Grady says pharma companies with plans for manufacturing here get a break.
Companies like Eli Lilly, Johnson & Johnson, some of those big drug makers, have already committed to tens of billions of dollars, so they would be exempt in this case.
Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu about to open today's session of the UN General Assembly. Middle East expert Aaron David Miller.
He's going to denounce leaders who, instead of denouncing Hamas, have essentially denounced the state of Israel.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.